etc., but it's better than all the rest. So there is no other option, and I would have thought that the political leaders have a responsibility here to recreate confidence in the system, but to work in such a way that's not just for party political advantage.
The three people involved in Baby P's death have been sentenced at the Old Bailey. His mother, her boyfriend and the couple's lodger were given indeterminate sentences and were told they would not be released from jail until they no longer posed a risk to the public. A second report into the care of Baby Peter concluded that his death could and should have been prevented. Graham Badman, who conducted... Surrey Police has suspended two of its officers for allegedly avoiding speeding police Fahrenheit. Tomorrow, dry with sunny spells, becoming warm and light winds. Maximum temperature 22 degrees Celsius, 72 degrees Fahrenheit. BBC London 94.9. It's 5 minutes past 12.
You're listening to BBC London 94.9.
Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me, please, how to get from here?
Bank Holiday Monday afternoon from 3.
Get around Wham, into Yazoo, and Bob's your uncle. You're at ZZ Top.
Wow. But please, who is Bob?
The A to Z of the 80s with Pat Sharp. Bank Holiday Monday afternoon from 3.
On BBC London 94.9.
What can you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all?
Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9.
We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys that are there to be seen.
Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9.
My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating.
Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9.
And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oi! How you doing, John? All right?
All right, yeah, not too bad. Not
so, talk the walk then. What can you do this weekend for nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, just sit at home.
Close the curtains. Yeah. Put the duvet over your head. Yeah. Turn everything off.
And that's it.
That's it.
It hasn't cost me a penny this weekend.
You've been nowhere.
Yeah. And I'm not eating anything, so I'm going to lose weight. It's done me a load of good.
Your clothes don't fit that
well. I've just got to read it. I've got to read out a couple of these texts just quickly. This one is from M. It says, Big George, watered down show, starring plenty of rabbit, new big man, Big George. Thank you very much indeed. Right, now then, Jill, Steve, Jonathan, Storm Cab, Fred and Ian.
I think him earlier, Storm Cab.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good boy, he is.
He's got the old plate on, the cab.
Well, he does all right. Yeah, the only thing is that it's like, I think he should wrestle more sharks. You know, I've seen him do it a couple of times on YouTube. I think he should wrestle more. Right, John, you've been brought in to do Talk the Walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. We've had some delightful walks. Where are you going today?
Lancaster Gate.
Oh, wow, the phone. That's one of the most drab, boring places in the centre of London, isn't it?
Well, it used to be,
right.
And you could argue, when you first look at it, you could argue maybe it is, actually, but there's a few gems hidden. Well, where are we?
Where are we starting?
We're going to start off at the junction of Lancaster Gate, and there's a bit of tin there in my ear.
All right, okay, we can do that. I go... Like that, try.
There you go, that's 10 times better. Sorry about that, I apologise.
No,
yeah, we're at the junction with Bayswater Road, Lancaster Gate, and what you'll notice is Bayswater Road is a, funny enough, an old Roman road. Okay, Via Trinobantia, I think, or Bantia it is, like, it's a straight road. And Lancaster Gate is a bit that's set off it, some houses, some hotels, and then there's this bit behind. And we're going to go into the first bit, turn right off the Bayswater Road, into Lancaster Gate itself. And you'll notice a hotel on the right-hand side, the Chorus Hotel, a cab rank as well. And you'll look immediately to your left. You'll look to your left-hand side, and you'll see this little piece of road, well, quite a long bit of road, actually, Lancaster Gate. Again, under development. If you ever want to see Shades of Magnolia, this is where you need to go. Like the, you know when they say the old, what was it, fade to grey? This is definitely fading from magnolia to beige, and all the colours in between, if you can imagine there's a range. But there actually is. There's three or four large, we're talking Victorian properties here, with those beautiful fronts they are.
Yeah.
Lovely steps, wonderful columns, and sort of like jutting out balcony above. And this is, and then the odd 1960s block thrown in. Very odd. What stands out here, though, immediately left-hand side is the old Gilbert Scott telephone box. Still got a couple of red telephone boxes here. Actually, these are becoming a real rare sight in London.
What, red telephone
boxes?
Yeah,
we're losing more. I know. We really are, and it's starting to worry me.
I take pictures of them. Whenever I see them, I take pictures of them.
Yeah, well, what's worrying me is that I'm seeing these really even more monstrosities coming up, or popping up all over the place in other parts of London. Right, you know. What, actually, I'm getting to the point, do we need phone boxes? I mean, if we're going to have, I don't think we do. I mean, I think the red ones, keep them if we can. But walk along, notice the properties, and then all of a sudden, what you'll notice to your right-hand side will be a cluster of trees. And there's a part of Lancaster Gate that juts off. So you imagine if this is the top bit of a T you're walking along.
Right.
And this bit just juts, this is the leg, the single leg bit, juts off to the right. And you'll notice this massive spire. Like, through the trees, you will. And you think you're going to come to this... you actually do think you're going to come to this wonderful-looking church. And you'll see a sign. You'll see another rest rank for taxi cab drivers. A recycling bay.
Yeah.
And then you'll notice even more of these Victorian-fronted homes. And then what you do come to is it's the most oddest-looking 1960s/70s building. That's just attached to the spire, and it's known as Spire House. So the actual church itself has gone. Oddly enough, it survived World War II, and it was done by a bit of, just a bit of rot, actually, got hold of the church, it did, and it was effectively most of it taken down. They kept the spire, which is just beautiful, and then you've got this, I think, if Prince Charles, if you really want to upset him, take him round here. I mean, it's look, they're probably fantastic apartments inside, but these do nothing for 1970s architecture. Quite the opposite, I'd say. They'd actually worry you. There's a quick picture there, George. You've got, look at that, for that spire. That's what you see. You think you're in the countryside, wouldn't you? And then all of a sudden, what happens to you is you turn right, and again, I'm saying, you're seeing the Victorian houses, and then, bang, it's this... It just looks disjointed. There we go. And, I mean, you couldn't get more of a mishmash, could you?
I mean, there was a load of buildings in central London that between sort of like the mid-60s and the late 70s that do seem a bit odd. Planning wasn't as strict then as it is now.
No, not at all. And what we're seeing is that where the taxi rank is, the taxi rest rank, most of the cab drivers will know this on Lancaster Gate. You've got the recycling bits, a few bins there. It's tidy, you know, considering it's a recycling bay there. And there's a little garden to this spire house. The big sign telling you it's spire house, you know. And it is prominent, this feature, because obviously from the Bayswater Road, as you go past and you look to your right, you just notice the spire. You don't see the back end of the building. You only see that if you're going to the hotel, the Guards Hotel or the Commodore Hotel. That's the only time you really notice it. Or if you actually live there yourself. But it's just, it's worth a visit. It shows you what we can do as a people, what we can build, and what we have the ability to do. And it shows you what we can build as well. Like I've got to be honest with you, when we get it wrong.
Yeah.
And we are good at getting it wrong. There's no doubt about it. I think that's in anything we do. You know, people make mistakes, architects make mistakes. And they have, let's be honest, if we're really honest. I mean, you know, when you look throughout the United Kingdom, there have been some horrendous buildings that have been built. At a certain time, because of someone's vision and dream, and you know, it's like if I make a mistake, I think you pay for it. I mean, you don't really ever hear of architects when they make a mistake. There's no one brings me in front of a board that excuse me, you built that monstrosity, you're struck off.
Yeah.
No, but you know, if a doctor makes a mistake, actually, we go on to something here. If a doctor makes a mistake, they probably get struck off.
Yeah.
Should we strike off bad architects? You know, a crime against society. I mean, because some architecture is abysmal.
Yeah.
I don't know, some is...
But then the beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Of course. But, what's the best thing you ever see of a really bad estate? When they blow it up, isn't it? You know, when they actually physically take the building down. I mean...
I love that where Fred Dibner done it on TV.
Well, there's a bit of art in that, isn't there? You know, when they take a cooling tower down or anything like that.
But married round here, you know, John.
Yeah, this is a beautiful...
Sussex Gardens, that church.
Well, it's just round the corner.
Just
round the corner we're talking here.
Yeah.
This is a stunning part of London. We're at the north part of Hyde Park, we are.
Yeah.
What you will notice, if we walk round this dog leg, you need to appreciate this building. When you come round the dog leg, back on yourself, now heading towards like the Bayswater Road again, what you'll notice is the entrance to Spire House. Absolutely. This is stunning. Mm-hmm. And then what you'll notice opposite you is the Commodore Hotel. What a front door. Could be onto something else here, not just about bollards now. I think there's something about front doors.
Yeah, you've been mad for front doors for some time,
yes,
young man.
Well, they all seem to close in my face. No, but I mean, there's the Commodore Hotel has a excellent front door. Beautiful, that black and white tile. You know, you see the influence of things that, you know, that have gone past in Victorian eras, like the influence, yeah. Black and white tile. It's just beautiful. You see it in the carpet you do in certain places. You see it in those in the hallways, those Georgian Victorian homes, and they're outside. And, you know, it's nice to see a hotel, and people take pride in their act. Because, let's be honest, your first impression is the door and that entrance. That's so, so important. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously the room matters, of course it does, but it's about first impressions if you run a hotel.
Yeah.
Nothing works. It puts you off, let's be honest. If you're thinking of staying somewhere and you see a crummy front door, you're not even going to walk across the threshold, are you? You're going to walk on by. This place, no, you wouldn't. If you pull up there, you think, yeah, you know, not too bad.
Would you say this is one of the most densely populated hotel areas in London? Because there's loads
all around here, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's...
all those big townhouses, they're all hotels of some sort, aren't they? Quite a few of them.
There's too many of them. I mean, especially at the moment, I mean...
There's too many of them, because someone says, can you come to the Jasper Hotel? Where's that?
Look at that for a beautiful front door. That is, you know, a bit of class there. Plenty of the brass work being done. Nice bit of wrought iron.
And people, if the people want to see these pictures, they we'll give them details in a minute.
We'll do. I've got loads of discs to go up. Yeah,
right now, then, Lancaster Gate itself. Now, it was always synonymous to me with the FA.
Exactly. They went, didn't they, about 10 years ago. I remember there was a fire, wasn't there? The back end of it, off of Craven Terrace there. They had a fire, and then they ended up moving as well. I mean, they were moving, I think. There was a fire in their building, and then they went to... because that was, they were on the first bit, they were, of Lancaster Gate. But that was it. Lancaster Gate was the Football Association, with the big England flag.
That's right. Lines.
And, you know, I mean, that was, again, when you're on the knowledge. I mean, Spire House, by the way, for those budding knowledge students, it is a point. Do you remember? Plenty of points around here.
Right.
Points make... They get your badge.
Yeah, get your points, mate. Yeah. Give you a living. Yeah,
get your badge. They do in the end. But what will happen now is walk towards. Now I want people to walk towards the Bayswater Road.
Right. So you're coming down West Broad Street.
No, we're still on Lancaster Gate.
All right.
In the middle bit of it. You see the T junction bit, the way it forms.
Yeah.
So we're just at Spire House in the middle, and then there's a bit where you can walk directly towards the Bayswater Road.
Right.
Yeah. And what you'll notice then, you'll see a tall column. With a gilded cross of Christ.
Right.
And you think church, memorial, it must have something to do with the church, you know, because it's not a church no more. And I was quite surprised what's going on here. Again, it's another memorial. It's a memorial to people that have lost their lives in past wars, First and Second World War. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thin column, stone column. Nice stonework on the base, beautiful column. Beautiful gilded, and then there's some smaller statues. You can't see them. It's wonderful what we do sometimes, but people really have got to think about. You can't actually see what's up there unless you've got a very long ladder or a cherry picker. And I do think there's something wrong in the monuments we are making in London. And this is a fine example. The column doesn't have to. Well, I suppose with the gilded cross, maybe it does actually. Thinking about it, but you need a better explanation of what is actually up there now. Lucky enough, Westminster City Council renovated this part of Lancaster Gate in 2002, and they regilded the cross they did, and then they give you an explanation. It's all to do with, here's a picture, George, of it. It's a beautiful column. Look, have a look at that. It's just stunning. And the gilding is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, funny enough, Sir Simon Milton, who is now part of the great Boris's team, he used to be one of the leaders and of Westminster City Council. He was involved here. And they smartened up this central area. Because on the left, we've got the Columbia Hotel. Then we've got some flats on our right-hand side. And it was a bit tatty, this area. And they smartened it up. And they put some inscription they have of their own names, actually, on the floor, saying they did it. They were responsible to it. And they put this other statue further down to a chap called... I've actually never heard of this guy, Reginald Brabazon.
Nope.
Ever heard of him? 12th Earl of Meath, 1841 to 1929.
Oh, him, yeah. Yeah, I talked about him the other day. No, I know.
But there's a... It turns out, I mean, this guy was a real philanthropist. He was chairman of the Young Men's Friendly Society, president of the British College of Physical Education. This guy really cared about people and had a social conscience. Obviously a very, very, very wealthy man. And, that just stands there, this column to him, and he's in. There's a carving of him, on the end, facing the Bayswater Road, facing towards the park. That carving's there. Then there's a young boy, just a young man sitting above. And, well, this guy cared. And he did something with his wealth and his money. He wanted to make a difference. And I you know, again, we've said it before on Talk the Walk. We seem to come across these people. But, again, we don't see how many modern ones we come across, do we?
No.
It's amazing how we seem to lack. We do that. The people with the real, real wealth, who have still got plenty of it, aren't doing enough, I'm afraid.
You reckon?
They're not. No, no.
I mean,
the Peabody's of their days. The Guinnesses, you know, the Bournevilles, they did this when they were alive.
Yeah.
You see, we honour them now, but they did it when they were alive. I don't think we should have to wait till someone writes a will out. You know, shouldn't have to wait, but they should be doing it now. I'd love to see the Virgin Estate. I'd love to see the Philip Green Estate, I would, where we're helping people, like, live in an expensive city like London. I mean, and that's what I'd like to see, you know, old Chairman Boris, Captain Boris, get him on, like, he's got that group, hasn't he? Get them all the wealthy bit together, get the hat and get them doing things in these troubled times.
It would be lovely. Anyway, so Lancaster Gate itself, I mean, it's an island, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a little island,
yeah.
But the place itself, we're talking dates back to 1860, Victorian era, when they decided to build some homes, develop. I mean, the square, what we're saying is Lancaster Gate, it's a focal point. It used to be a large residential estate. It was laid out in the 1860s. A developer, Henry de Bruno Austin. And the actual estate, Lancaster Gate, takes its name from the North Gate into Hyde Park. Which honours Queen Victoria, the Duchess of Lancaster, hence Lancaster Gate. So they just named the estate they did after, effectively. Like I said, Westminster Council, they decided to renovate the area. I mean, and that's the cross. That was the main thing what they'd done. They renovated that little central bit. We used to have a cab rank here, we did, and that got moved, and it did, to where it says the sign Spire House. They moved us slightly, not too far. Normally when they move a cab rank, it either disappears or we end up 10 miles away.
Right.
So thank God we didn't move that far. But what we'll do now is, rather than go down the rest of Lancaster Gate, let's just cross over the Bayswater Road, and then you'll actually see the stone columns and the gates to Lancaster Gate. Now, what you will notice is it's a very, very busy road. Use the crossing. Look to your right. You see the most amazing hoardings. I don't know if you've seen. There's these... it used to be a couple of hotels. They've gone.
Yeah.
The only thing that's left is the front, the facade. And this development company have put up... They're massive, big, coloured pencils.
Oh yeah, I love those, yeah.
No, I want a set, I do. They are humongous. They're about 20 foot high. And they really look good, because you've got the Hyde Park Thistle Hotel, looking a bit 1920s Art Deco, it is, with its lovely, beautiful canopy.
They've been up there for ages, those pencils, haven't they?
They have, because they've been digging down for ages, and they've been, I mean, there's nothing left. Honestly, George, if you walk along the back of Lancaster Gate, this front, there's actually, it's just a big hole. And then all you've got is the front. Now, what you'll notice is there's like three or four stripes along the front of these buildings. It's steel girdering, holding the front up. And what you'll notice is the cranes. Two cranes in the front, one behind. You'll notice the two, you know, quite reasonable sized cranes. There's some serious work going on at these luxury properties. And probably by the time they've finished, they'll have finished them in time for the next upswing in the economy. I don't think we're near, 18 months to 2 years before these are going to be finished. They've done a fantastic job here, honestly. And the colour, and what hits you is, see, Bayswater Road is very grey and tarmacy, very green, beautiful tree canopy, but what hits you is this colour. It's not what you expect. This reds, yellows, green, it's all the rainbow, the colour. All the colour pencils are there. You know, and it's
a clever idea.
It just, well, you take notice. I mean, it's whether people take notice and putting orders in now, probably not. But it just stands out a mile. And this firm did develop something down in Fulham a few years back, probably exactly the same. That hoarding you've got to keep. It's like the land of the giants.
Yeah.
You feel like you're in. You know, son, you've been shrunk, and the pencils are there. You know, great for photographs. So I've took a couple of fantastic photos there of this, and it's. It just looked really good. And the road is so straight. You can tell it's a Roman road. You really can.
Yeah.
You get the perspective.
And the other thing about it, if the places that aren't hotels, there are some phenomenally wealthy people that live around here, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, the whole area. I mean, when I finish this little walk tonight, I mean, literally within minutes, I mean, I've got a, you know, it's a good cab area, actually, I've got to say. It really
so did you get a cab?
I got a fare, aren't we?
All right.
because what happens, I'll tell you what happens to me on these walks. You pick up, what are you doing? Well, mind my own business. And you say, you know, I'm just taking a few photographs, whatever. We'll be doing X, Y, Z. Now, a bit about back to that church. Remember I spoke to you about it?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? It's Spire House. It used to be known as Christ Church. The surviving church tower in Spire. Christ Church, it was built 1854, 1855. Not a bad time, actually. Just a year to build. That's not too bad, actually. By Messrs. F and H. Francis in a Gothic style. The tower and spire were added in 1863, a bit later then, so two-stage construction there. And it is a real steep spire here, so it's definitely worth a look. William Boyd, it was carpenter. Later, the Bishop of Ripon was the illustrious incumbent from 1879 to 1884. It survived World War II, and it suffered from fungal decay. Can you believe it?
Fungal decay.
In 1977.
There must be some
believe?
Cream for that.
No, but I mean, to survive the Blitz and to be done by a bit of fungus says it all, I think. Grade 2 listed, though, the spire is, so that's why it probably stays where it is. Now, that's that other bit I told you about, the memorial cross. This is important. I quite like this. The Christchurch War Memorial commemorates the residents of the Metropolitan Borough of Paddington who sacrificed their lives during the Great War and obviously subsequent wars. It's designed by a chap called Sir Walter Tapper, RA, and sculpted by Lawrence A. Turner. The memorial was erected on the footpath outside Christchurch. It was originally unveiled on the 27th of March 1921 by the Bishop of Kensington. The memorial is in a Gothic style, and it certainly is. The tabernacle below the gilded metal crucifix. So when you see this, look at the gilded metal crucifix.
Mm-hmm.
What it does, it accommodates 8 little niches, so little like concave bits where you could fit little statues. And in it are the figures of St. George of England and St. Louis of France and the warrior saints of Christendom. So a bit of, past history getting involved here. And the individuals are Maurice, Longinus, Victor, Adrian, Florian and Eustace. They're names you don't probably ever hear, do you, today? I mean, Morris maybe, but I mean, I haven't heard of a Eustace or met one in years.
Well, Ollie, useless. Ollie always comes out in that one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fascinating, because I always thought of this as a bland part.
Well, it is. That's the thing. Well, this is what I'm going to say to you. When you start off, you think this is quite bland. But, you know, when you think about it, what we got here is a phone box, Gilbert Scott. We've got a post box. When you come back across the road now, you'll see a post box. You'll see some old Victorian property, just the front only, but even in the recession, we're building our way out of it. We then see, I'll tell you what you will notice also, is these big rotundas with some frilly bits on the corners.
You love your frilly bits,
oh, yes,
yeah.
yes, with a few laurel leaves and a few lions you will popping out as well. But there's a little bit of everything here about London, about Britain. And it does give you hope that there's still the cranes are up there and they're still working. Oddly enough, I'm seeing more cranes go up at the moment of late.
There does seem to be an upturn,
yeah,
isn't there?
There is, and that is a good sign that construction is happening. And it hasn't collapsed completely. And honestly, it is a good sign. Also, look at the Hyde Park Thistle Hotel here. Beautiful, ornate, wrought iron glass canopy leading up to its front door. It is quite stunning, actually, that is. I mean, it's easily forgotten.
So, John, if anybody wants to find out more and see these wonderful pictures that you always take, because you do illustrate these, there is somewhere they can go, isn't there?
Yeah, www.freelondonevents.co.uk. And my photography work's getting better all the time.
Do you know what? It's all about composition.
Mm.
Get those people out there. Oi, move! You lot, move out of the way!
Look at that inscription on that Meath Memorial. One king, one empire, Empire Day. Then the other side talks about self-sacrifice. You know, how we should maybe give up a little bit more from time to time. There's some wonderful people. Look at him there. Typical of his era, look.
Mm-hmm.
What a beard.
Yeah, yeah. Go, as I said, people will have to see these on the website,
yes,
John, won't they?
Exactly.
Because these pictures don't come out too well on the radio, do they?
No, not at all.
No, but,
all.
But one thing that does come out well on the radio is the old singing, don't it? Yeah, come on then, John. Here we go. One, two, three, four.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
Love that. John Kennedy comes in every week to have a quick talk the walk. We love it as well, don't we, Mel? Lovely. Here we go.
Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
Right, so it's www.freelondonevents.com if you want to see the pictures that go along with this. On
Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
Right, coming up, we're going to be talking. I've got all these emails and texts and your calls as well coming up just in a few seconds' time.
This is BBC London 94.9.
94.9.
The gold winner impressed the judges with sharp wit.
Tell us about whether it's all Oliver Cromwell's fault that the Queen can't simply pick up a corgi and rush into the rescue.
Michael, thanks for the call. I love the way Michael said, what happens is, it's been a really great night, you know, it's been absolutely fantastic. You take them.